Well, it's great to hear those stories, those testimonies from Akosha and Sabina. Thank you so much for sharing those. But you might be wondering kind of what we're doing today. Doesn't it seem a little bit odd, really? And we've got this pool of water in the middle of a building. I mean, it's wet enough outside this morning, isn't it? And then in a moment, Akosha and Sabina are going to get into that water fully clothed. And then I'm going to go in the water and make sure they go under the water completely. And then when they come up, you're going to clap and cheer. Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd? A bit unusual, really, in today's day and age. What is baptism all about? Well, let me tell you what it's not about. First of all, Akosha and Sabina are not today joining the church. This is not kind of some initiation rite that you go through in order to become a member of the church. It's not that. Neither have Akosha and Sabina suddenly got all religious. This is not about religion. It's not about a church, a building, singing hymns, none of that at all. Neither does it guarantee long life or fame or fortune. I mean, if it did, more people would be being baptized, wouldn't they? That would be great. But it doesn't guarantee that at all. So what is it all about? Well, I've got three words that I want to share with you this morning and describe, I think, what baptism is about. And they all begin with S, because that's easy for me to remember. Hopefully it will help you as well. The first one is saved. Jesus saves. You've heard that a bit already this morning, haven't you? Jesus saves. Saves how? From what? And why? And who needs saving anyway? Aren't we all doing really well? Actually, interestingly enough, Jesus himself doesn't talk much about saving, but when his birth is announced, Joseph is told that they're to name the baby boy Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So saved is another way, if you like, of talking about becoming a Christian, of conversion. You might call it a decision to follow Jesus, to become a disciple of Jesus, or accepting Jesus as Lord and Saviour. But saved from sin? What's that all about? I think a better question to ask is everything all right with the world? Or could it be better? Is everything all right with me? Or you? Could we be better? I don't mean better in the sense of perhaps have a bigger car or whatever. You know, I mean inside us, in our hearts, in our lives. Could we be different? See, some people think Christianity is for the fairies, or for the faint-hearted, or the foolish, or for those who somehow can't seem to get by in life on their own. But actually, Christianity is tremendously realistic, because it recognises that the world is a broken place. And actually, you and I are parts of that brokenness, no matter how much we sometimes like to think that we've got it together. We're not the people perhaps we were meant to be. We're not the people we would hope to be. Something needs putting right. Maybe we need putting right. That problem with the world, problem with us, we call sin. That's not the second S, by the way. I'll come to that in a moment. Problem is sin. And I don't mean like the seven deadly sins. I don't mean those times when you fibbed to your mum or you ate too much chocolate. I'm not talking about that sort of sin. The problem with the word sin is it has all sorts of connotations to it. The way I describe it is this. Sin is spelt S-I-N. And it's that I in the middle that's the problem. That I is kind of me. I'm the I in the middle. And I want to run life my way. I want to be the middle of life, my life. I want to run it. I want to be on the throne. I want to control it. I want to be in the middle of everything and do life my way. I think Akosha and Sabina have both shared how they wanted to do that at one stage. That's sin, if you like. The problem is me. In fact, the brokenness of the world runs, I think, through every human being. About a century ago the Times newspaper had an article entitled "What's Wrong with the World?" and it invited people to write in and suggest what was wrong with the world. And a famous author, G.K. Chesterton, who you might remember wrote the Father Brown stories, which are on TV. "What's Wrong with the World?" he wrote into the letter to the paper and said, "Dear sirs, I am yours sincerely." G.K. Chesterton. He wasn't saying that the problem of the world was just him. What he was saying is each one of us. The problem of the world runs through each one of our hearts. Christians believe in a God who wants to know us and wants us to get to know him. And we believe that this God sent Jesus into the world so that people could know what God was like and to know how he meant us to be with each other, how he meant us to live, and to sort out the mess that we've created by failing to live that way. Christians believe that in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, and specifically in the cross, his death and resurrection, that God is starting to put the world the right way up again. He's starting to sort the world out, starting with us personally, with you and me. And that on that cross, God has shown us his love and his grace. You heard that word a lot, didn't you, in Sabina and Akosha's testimonies, the word love. God's grace, God's unconditional, unearned love towards each one of us. There's a verse in the Bible that says this: for it is by grace you have been saved. Saved, you become a follower of Jesus, a decision to follow him through trusting him. And this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Isn't that great? He goes on to say, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, if it was by what we did, as Akosia so eloquently said, we might spend 60 years enjoying ourselves, and in the last 10 years, trying to put it all right. And the trouble is, at the end of that 10 years, you don't know if you've done enough, do you? Have I done enough just to pass the bar to be acceptable to God? That verse in the Bible says, actually, nothing we can do can make us acceptable to God. It's his unmerited love towards us. Being saved, he's saying, I want to follow Jesus because of his great love for me. Saved. So today, Akosia and Sabina are publicly demonstrating that God loves them and has called them to follow him. Second S is sorted, okay? So saved, sorted. So you might think that's it, okay? That everything in the garden is rosy, that Sabina and Akosia have life sorted, everything is hunky-dory, and they are now in some way perfect. Or they're super Christian. Trouble is, baptism doesn't mean any of those things. It doesn't mean you're a super Christian. It doesn't mean that you've got it all together, that you're perfect. In fact, it means the opposite. Baptism is saying, actually, that I can't do this on my own, that I'm not perfect enough to get through life. I can't get through life on my own. It means, in fact, that I haven't got it sorted. Someone once said to me, oh, actually, I'm not good enough to be baptized. And I said, but that's exactly the point. You can't be good enough. You don't have to be good enough. There's no sense in which you can be good enough. God loves us completely and unconditionally. You know, when I became a parent, I began to understand a little bit more of God's love, holding our first child in my arms and realizing that for this child, I would give my life. Gave me a glimpse of God's love for us, just a glimpse of God's love for us. God's love for us. We don't have to have it sorted. The third S is subversive. Do you like that word? Subversive. Because I think baptism is a deeply subversive act. Let me explain it to you. Imagine it's the first century and we're in Rome, okay? And Sabina or Akosia are coming in to be baptized. And there's a crowd watching. And this is in the shadow of Rome. And the person who's doing the baptism says to the first person being baptized, do you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And the person shouts out, yes. There's a gasp from the crowd, an intake of breath. Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Why, that's the titles that Caesar has. Caesar's your Savior and Lord. That's on all the coins. That's on all the posters around the city. Caesar is your Lord and Savior. So if you're declaring that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're saying that Caesar isn't. And if word got round to Caesar that that's what you were saying, you'd better watch out. So back then, 2,000 years ago, this was a deeply subversive act. And you might say, well, there aren't any more Caesars today. There aren't any tyrants on the throne. At least not here in this country. But I still think this is a deeply subversive act because there are Caesars around today. There are all sorts of pulls and draws on us that want our allegiance and our devotion, even our worship, that will call us to go in a particular direction, whether it's work or money or fame or relationship or consumerism or whatever it might be, selfishness. There's a whole pulling us in this direction. And today, Akosia and Sabina have made the decision to go in the opposite direction. That's why it's subversive. It's also deeply courageous, don't you think? What they're doing today is courageous. This is an outrageous and rebellious act in a world that doesn't want to know anything about grace or love or mercy. You know, I think Christians, if we just knew just how revolutionary the gospel of forgiveness and grace was, why, we'd be out there. We'd be out there willing to give our lives for this. It's more revolutionary than Marxism, more effective than education, more transformative than wealth and power, and more liberating than any ism you can think of. This is the love of God to us in Jesus. Here's some words from the Bible in a modern translation. This is Paul writing. So here's what I want you to do now. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's what God's love does. It touches our hearts and starts to change us. We're not perfect. We haven't got it sorted. You know, I think in life we will follow something. I think in some ways we recognize we're not the people we want to be, and we want to be better, we want life to be better, and so we will follow something or someone in life, whether it's an ideology or whatever it might be, we will follow something. Whether we know it or not, it might even be living for ourselves, but we will follow something in life. Sabina and Akosia today are declaring that they are following Jesus. And others here have done the same thing. Following Jesus. What we're doing speaks a big no to the world that tells us this is who we need to be, this is the way we need to go. And a big yes to say, thank you, God, for your love for me. Thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. That's what I want. Someone said to me recently that they used to swim for their county as a young person. And that one day they were in a training exercise, they were swimming, and got into difficulty. And someone came alongside, someone who was a better swimmer, and supported them and helped them to get to the end. I mean, that's a picture, isn't it? Perhaps not a great picture, but it's a picture for me of what our relationship with Jesus does. That we can struggle through life on our own, falling all sorts of different things. But accepting the love of Jesus means He comes alongside us. And, in a sense, swims with us. Well, you're going to go into the pool in just a moment, and you're not going to swim around. It's not that big. But I do want to say that it's a subversive act that takes courage, because, in a sense, you are swimming against the tide, declaring in this broken world that actually God knows how to start to fix things, and He's starting with you and me and us. You can ignore it, you can accept it, but don't be apathetic about it. God loves you deeply and completely. Okay, I think this is where we get wet, isn't it?